Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Let's see if BG knows T.O. Eagles-Browns history, which I'm not thinking you're going to know. It's a deep cut, Brandon, for you, obviously coming from Michigan and not being an Eagle until, you know, a couple years later. Do you know why Terrell Owens and the Browns connected in Eagles lore?
No.
He destroyed the Browns in a game. Seltzer, remember the three touchdowns? And he's ripping off the...
Oh, it was the best.
He's ripping the stuff off the wall behind the end zone.
Well, that was the fun thing about that. One of the many fun things, but it was always like, what's he going to do when he scores now? Like, what's the new celebration?
That was a lot that day.
That was awesome. Yeah, and he went nuts that day.
He went nuts that day.
He had Sharpie. He had phone. Like, what were the...
Well, he did the Ray Lewis dance in Baltimore. I remember that one.
Well, that was here, but yeah.
Or against Baltimore, I mean. What were some of the other big ones he did? Like he had
plans. He stood on the star,
of course.
With both teams. He did it with Dallas. He did it with San Fran, but he also did a mini one when the three touchdown game, the Nicolette Sheridan night, which is something. All right, 215-592-9494. So BG, as you guys get ready for practice tomorrow, your mindset, let's switch into like the game mode and Eagles mode for some. All right. Mm-hmm. So Rocky September. Your thoughts looking ahead to October and beyond. Where's your mind right now about the club trying to get it going?
Get it going this week. Let's go 1-0. Let's get back to that. Let's get back to this is what's in front of us. So let's handle that, and then I'm gonna come talk to you next week.
You're looking to shove it in my face, man.
Oh man, every week. Hey, that should be the goal anyway, just for yourself, because we know we got a talented team, and we'll be dishonoring ourselves if we don't go out there and put everything we got into it. So, I mean, I know we're doing it. Everything going to start working itself out. But, like, I know people going to talk until then because it's all lip service until you do it.
Brandon, what is Vic's methodology when you guys struggle and it's time for Vic Fangio to dig in on you or make adjustments? What is his personality like in those moments?
It's the same. It's the same. Now, one thing I can respect, it's not too high, too low. Like, he did the same. But he just tell you like it is. Hey, we need to get a little more sticky. We need to do this. Like, I just little things that just kind of came to my mind just from this last game. And you trust the game plan. You trust the calls. You know, let's run them. We knew we missed a lot of tackles last game. That's on us. We own that. And we, as players, we want to get that right. I'm sure Gardner Johnson wanted to be way better than he was. You know, I want to be better than I was. I mean, we got to have that mindset, you know what I'm saying, going into it. So I'm excited coming off the bye because I know that I'm going to just chalk that one up, like I said, to the bye. But now we got to stretch. We got to go on. Now we got to really do our work. And so let's see where we at and get our identity as a team.
How tough is it to navigate this? Like, I'm sure I hear about it. We hear about it. People are talking to you. Hey, it looks good this year, man. Like, you look good this year. How about next year? Like, people are already looking ahead for Brandon Graham. Like, you're talking about, let's stay in the here and now. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about playing the Browns.
Yes.
Yet you have everyone from the outside saying, hey, Brandon, let's talk about the future. Let's talk about how you feel. Let's talk about bringing you back for a 16th year. How difficult is that?
You know what? It's been cool for people to do that, but it's like, I'm here now. Like, I got to make it to there, and then I got to see how I'm feeling at that point. But, right now, I'm trying to get a win. I'm trying to keep stacking wins, and then I'm trying to be consistent on who we are as a defense, controlling that part. And then as the offense, us as a team just creating our identity and playing four games, coming off the bye now. Now this is a stretch where we're really gonna see who we are.
Mm-hmm. So Brandon, it does sound to me though like you are open minded to the possibility of maybe playing another year. Is that is that reasonable?
I'm gonna stay ready. I'm gonna say that. I'm gonna stay ready. I said if nobody call, hey, it's time. You know, but really it's more if the Eagles call, because I wouldn't go no other place at this point. It would just be waiting around. Something was to happen. Come in, just see what happens.
Who has the leverage in this situation, right?
Oh, yeah.
You.
I understand.
You know why? Howie can't show you the door. He's not allowed to. Not allowed to do it. Brandon, if you want to play, you got a spot. That's the way it goes. Hey. Legends have that right. Ever since the Eagles blew it with Brian Dawkins, hasn't been a seltzer. You know my theory. I think Howie is petrified, and Lurie is petrified of losing a legend. That's why BG, Lane, obviously Kelsey and Fletcher already got to the end and chose to retire. I mean,
yeah, they just can't be in another uniform. Not allowed. You're not Brandon. You're not allowed. Like, I'm sorry.
You got the golden ticket, my man.
You could come back for 20. Let's make it a quarter century of Brandon Graham.
Hey, well, let's get a ring in there. Let's do it this year. Let's do it this year.
That sounds like a plan.
All right, let's
talk about it.
Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Ken right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great,
Ken. How are you doing, Ken?
Always great to hear BG in studio, and you sound a lot more cheerful than you did the last time you were in studio, so I'm gonna take that as a positive sign for a week full of positives for Phillies fans here. So I am highly confident for tonight for a couple of reasons. First of all, you know, Aaron Nola – in Citi Field, that really is a pitcher's park, and I think that helps a guy like Aaron Nola. You know, it's a little more forgiving. It plays bigger, obviously, than Citizens Bank Park. But the thing for me is, it felt like something changed in after the sixth inning of the game Sunday. And what seemed to change was if the Phillies get where we all want them to go when this postseason is over, we might look back at that Bryce Harper at bat where he took his walk on four pitches and just went down to first base and trusted Nick Castellano to do his job. We might look at that as the most important at bat in the postseason because...
Well, I'm going to go to the Bryce home run earlier in the game.
Let me finish. Let me give you my rationale. So, we all know Bryce can hit home runs. This team is built to hit home runs. What they're not built to do is what really won them this game, and that was allow the guy behind them, you know, get on base and allow the guy behind them to pick it up. And, you know, this Mets pitching staff in particular, and I've been saying this since the series started, this entire Mets pitching staff will walk you if you let them. And for the first 15 innings of this series, they were pretty much unwilling to allow them to do that. And you know, after the sixth inning, they were allowing the Mets to throw them bad pitches. And what Castellano said after the walk-off single that won the game, we basically said, look, if I'm going to get beat, I'm going to get beat on something being thrown past me. I'm not going to get beat on something in the dirt. That's the mentality you have to have.
Well, like, it's important. It's very important.
You make a good pitch and you beat me, that's fine, but I'm not going to go up there and get myself out. And if this team has kind of settled on, we're not going to go up there and get ourselves out, they're going to hammer this team.
Well, but I'll say this, that, Ken, I agree, but you also do need the guy behind you to pick you, not pick you up, to do his job. Last year, Alec Bohm was a four-hole hitter, fell off as the playoffs wore on. I mean, Castellanos had a huge game the other day, man, and he hit a good September. So I feel pretty good about Castellanos right now behind Bryce. All right, Ken, give me a great answer. Who or what is quintessential 80s?
You know, I actually was texting my fantasy football group last night, not connected to this. It really felt like 1985 watching the Yankees and the Royals play in the postseason.
Wow, yeah. Well, that was quite a series. I mean, the blown call at first base. Oh, actually, I'm thinking of Royals and Cardinals. But, yeah, I think there was Balboni and those guys against the Yankees.
Balboni.
Remember that guy? All right.
Of course.
Brandon, before you get out of here, I got to bring something up that is like the all-time NFL players voted you the fourth most annoying player in the NFL?
Yeah.
I mean, I get CJGJ number
one. That's a compliment, man.
But they're going after our guy, Brandon Graham, fourth most? What's what the What is that?
That is funny, man.
Good work.
I love it. I love it. It's like being able to still play and then be annoying. That's a fun part for me.
No, is that
because if I was annoying, it was getting work. Boy, it's like, oh man.
Is that just because you're a nice guy? Is that because you're a yapper? Is that just the basic thing that you just talk and talk and talk out there?
Yeah, just talking. And once I know. I got a little. I smell blood. Oh yeah, it's over with.
But your style's not mean, right?
Of course not.
I can't cuss. I can't say little certain stuff where the ref gonna make me, you know, or throw a flag or something. But I keep talking to him. I keep talking.
You are relentless. Yeah. When I've heard you mic'd up, you are relentless.
Don't let me get no sack early in the game. Oh man, it's already bad, but it's gonna get worse.
That's awesome. That's
well, look,
so
Brandon.
Awesome.
Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you, man. Go get that
to Deshaun Watson and Cleveland and take them down and get to 3-2 and enjoy the Phils also, man. I know you know you'll get a chance to watch some of these games and you know enjoy it, bud.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there he is, Brandon Graham. Thanks, Brandon. Stay well, man.
Appreciate
you. We'll talk to you next week.
Brandon.
All right, coming up, a lot more calls on the Phils. You don't want to mix in the Eagles, certainly we can. But heavy on the Phils today, what Kyle Schwarber said yesterday about his mindset playing game 3 on the road. We'll get to that. Plus, Rob Thompson on the Strom and Alvarado issue. I mean, that's a big one, man. They got to figure that out for tonight. Strom or Alvarado in a big spot. Who do you go to? Well, good morning on a big morning. Game 3 tonight. Holy mackerel, the stakes are big. Aaron Nola to the mound for the Phils. And look, he's done this a lot now the last 2 years. It's been quite a journey for us as Phillies fans with him because, you know, you go back to 2019, 2020, 2021. You know, John, we knew he was good, but we also knew, you ready for this, just to break it down? We didn't trust him in a big moment.
Not at all. I didn't trust him when there was someone on first base. You know, it's like he would get so distracted. But he would lose it. He was so inconsistent. You know, out of the stretch, I had major questions about Aaron Nola. But, man, he certainly figured it out and put it together.
He did.
And last year, they paid him accordingly, and he has continued to perform the way he always has. He's a workhorse who gives you innings and excellence and curves that
steady.
People can't even touch.
Well, the changeup's nice also. I mean, he's got a nice repertoire of pitches. And now look, is he the best? No. I mean, he's not the best on this team, and it's not like his ERA was under 3. I mean, it was like mid-3s this year. But he's very good. I trust him tonight. Yeah. So it's funny. I trust him certainly more than the bats. The bats and the bullpen, to me, are the two big things tonight. I mean, the bats have been historically up and down the last couple of years. The bullpen was excellent this year, but it's been a fiasco so far.
The bats are a game-by-game proposition, it feels like.
Bullpen wasn't supposed to be,
though. It does feel like they're back to where they, you know, can draw from the positivity of this last game, at least. Like, it does feel like they have a good feel for getting a small ball going, at least. The bullpen thing, that's a worry. That's a major worry because Jeff Hoffman doesn't look like himself. Jeff Hoffman can't locate? Wait,
well,
what?
Dude, you got three of them. You got Hoffman, you got Strom, and you got Kerkring.
Yeah, Strom.
I mean, Kerkring's
got his glove
also.
Up here, and the ball's going the other side of the strike zone.
Dude,
like, what gives?
I know.
That's not something we saw all regular season, so that is concerning.
All right, so all of this with the Phils on the line. Reminder, the game tonight, 5:08, right here on WIP. First pitch, 5:08. Make sure, you know, if you're not watching on TV, be tuned. Even if you are watching on TV, you can sync your you know, your room off.
It's the best way to watch the game.
Yeah, Franski.
Especially with the national guys.
Franski in L.A. Hey, unfinished business here on WIP. Playoff coverage presented by Delaware Valley Honda. By the way, the Sixers it is unfinished business, but it's business about to start. James, as the Sixers get ready to start, let me ask you, am I going to get this dollar? Okay?
Okay.
You may not remember this.
Okay.
But, you know, the hammer.
The hammer!
Make sure to write these things down.
Yeah, I definitely don't remember this already, so go ahead.
Will the caller, Troy, who's a great caller in Northeast Philly, will he give me the dollar he's going to owe me in about 2 weeks?
When Lopez?
Sixer season officially starts and Brooke Lopez is not a Sixer.
I think he will.
I wrote it down. It was February 7th. And Troy, if you're listening, you're going to owe me a buck, bud.
Wow.
Man up.
Troy's honorable. I believe he will.
And
I believe
Troy.
He will come through.
He's
an honorable man.
February 7th, it was $1 to me or $100 to him if Brooke Lopez is a Sixer on opening day of the Sixer season. Just saying, I'll be waiting.
Oh my God! Breaking news! Yeah. Traded to the no.
Yeah.
So how is he to get you this dollar?
Find a way.
He could Venmo.
Figure it out. Figure it out.
He could Venmo you. No problem.
You Venmo.
That's I
do. Do you do Venmo?
I do. Yeah. I got into that like 2 years ago.
He does.
Yeah, that was a big step for me.
But I do think that maybe you Venmo because we guilted you into
Venmoing. I just realized it's so easy.
I mean, Nick Cassiano said that Philly fans, you know, bullied him into playing well. We got Joe to use Venmo.
I actually think I paid you on Venmo before. So, well, yeah, good job.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to the phones. Troy, you owe me a buck. Elliot Short Parks in 10 minutes. JB right now in Chestnut Hill. What's going on, JB?
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, JB.
Hey, buddy. I'll give you a fun fact, but Joe was annoyed last time. He feels left out. But Phillies, have they announced the full lineup for tonight yet?
No, nope.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with Marsh because Marsh is awful.
Well, he's not going to play tonight, I don't think. So, you know.
We don't know.
No, but he's not going to start against a lefty. Look, it's Austin Hayes. This is why you acquired him. I haven't loved what we've seen. No one's loved what we've seen, but.
Brandon Marsh is not fit to be playing against a lefty. Bad the last few offensive opportunities Brandon Marsh has had have been discouraging.
Well, JB, I'll take it a step further. So I do feel Austin Hayes will start tonight. What'll be interesting, because we've been evaluating the postseason through the more aggressive Rob Thompson this year, the more non-traditional. Mm-hmm. What'll be interesting is when they face a righty, does Cody Clemens get that start sometimes? Instead of Brandon Marsh.
Would you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm close. Really close. Yeah. I mean, I trust Cody Clemens.
He hits better than Brandon Marsh.
Timely hits.
Yeah. He just does. Yeah.
He absolutely has the clutch factor, and he puts the bat on the ball better than Brandon Marsh does.
And listen, JB, where that could play into tonight is, look, at some point the Mets are going to go from a left-handed starting pitcher to right-handed relievers.
He might pinch it for something.
Sure. I mean, let's say it's the first time that happens. It's the seventh inning. You got two on and two out. And, you know, here comes Austin Hayes' time. Does Cody Clemens get that at bat or Brandon Marsh? I mean, that's a decision for Rob Thompson. I would trust Cody Clemens more right now.
I would have to ask Denny Nichols on that. That's our baseball aficionado.
Denny Nichols?
But, yeah, it's...
Who the heck is Denny Nichols?
He trusts you. Know him. He's a guy. He's a Syracuse guy.
I know Rachel Nichols. I know the director Nichols. Mike Nichols.
Mike Nichols. That's yeah. Her,
and
that's
isn't
her
he
father-in-law?
He's a graduate.
He's Diane Sawyer's dad, right? Or
no, husband.
Husband.
Yeah, and husband. Rachel Nichols is.
That's right.
Her
Rachel Nichols. Nichols. Yes, correct.
Yeah. You love the grad. That's Mike Nichols.
Well, the graduate's awesome. Yeah. All right, JB, give me an answer here. What's quintessential 80s? Who or what?
Give me Eagles point real quick, and you guys can chew on this too. Mm-hmm. Do you think, I want to ask BG, do you think they're going to prepare it all for Jameis? Because I think, shout out to Stefanski for coming home. He's a Wayne guy. But I think his job is on the line at this point because Deshaun Watson has been an utter failure. He's a distraction. He's a mess. So when do you change gears and go to Jameis? And if it's this game, are they even
How do you prepare differently, JB, if it is Jameis?
Prepare for another inconsistent quarterback?
Yeah.
It's the same
offense.
There's probably little
I don't think it changes
nuances.
That much.
It probably doesn't. But, JB, I think your overall point about Stefanski and their operation is right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I feel bad for Stefanski. I mean, I think he came out of the gates obviously looking good as a coach. I think they made the playoffs twice.
Right.
But I mean, their whole thing is crashing right now.
It's bad, yeah.
Which, by the way, to Rhea's point from earlier means – the Eagles better win on Sunday.
It will be a disaster.
It would be. Blow them out.
It would be.
A blowout win. It's a blowout victory. 28-10.
All right, JB, who or what is quintessential 80s?
Could be a little bit touchy, but AIDS.
Well, it was. No, that for sure it was. Let's go to Ryan right now. Not a fun answer. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, team.
What's up,
just
Ryan?
2 points real quick that I just wanted to make. Number one, could not be happier that we won on a Schwarber 0-for-5 night because you know what's coming tonight at some point.
I like your thought process, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that, and especially in that stadium. Second, Manaea. What's the approach on him? What's the deal with him? I haven't seen him just personally on TV. I haven't seen him that much this year. I haven't really studied up on it. But What do you guys think we need to do with him on the hill?
All right, let's address that. So, James, you were saying yesterday he's their best pitcher.
Oh, yeah, he's their best pitcher.
So how good is he?
He had a really good year. He's someone who's kind of been up and down throughout his career. He was on that Padres team that the Phillies beat in 2022.
They got after him.
They crushed him.
Yeah.
1 1/3, 5 runs. They hit him really well.
Yeah.
But this has been the best year of his career. Ruben talked about he's changed his arm slot. He's been throwing harder. His velocity's up like 2.5-3 miles an hour. Like, he's been really good for them this year.
3 miles
weirdly,
an hour.
Though, and this is not consistent with his career. It's kind of like Schwarber this year. I looked it up. He has been hit harder by lefties this year than righties, which has never happened in any other year of his career. For whatever that's worth, his OPS against lefties is like 150 points higher than against righties. So I don't know how that'll factor into Topper's decisions, especially because it's just this season. But he's a very good pitcher.
Huh. All right. Well, Ryan, I'll tell you what.
How weird is that, though? To increase your velocity by 3 miles per hour.
I mean, but that's baseball now.
Crazy.
I mean, we see a lot of these guys.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
Yeah, it's the
playoff.
It's all the technology. No, it's all the during the season. I'm saying this season he increased his velocity.
Wow,
but we see that a lot these days with the science of pitching has changed, and they are able to increase these guys' velocity.
Look, Ryan, it's a huge freaking game. All right, and this guy that they're facing tonight is an example of how the Mets made the playoffs when they weren't supposed to. They had a number of players.
Vientos is a great
now he's on the young side, but a guy that gave them more than expected. I mean, they've had a number of guys step up this year. They're a tough team. Ryan, who or what is quintessential 80s?
All right, how about this? I grew up, I was born in 76, and nothing was bigger in my preteen years than WrestleMania.
That's another great answer. It's another one of those that goes beyond the 80s, but was in its heyday in the mid-80s.
Remember in the 80s when Saturday night's main event for wrestling?
I remember the term, but I was the Saturday morning wrestling.
All right. I was also big into Saturday, but it was more like Saturday early afternoon when the wrestling was.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Would come on. But Saturday night's main event, it would come on instead of Saturday Night Live on some Saturdays.
Really? Huh.
And it was like, it was almost like WrestleMania.
Summertime,
but
probably,
not
right?
WrestleMania. I don't know if it was like two or three times a year, but it was such a treat for all the youngsters like myself.
Look,
at
we've,
the time.
We've gotten great answers
all
to
all the big name guys.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just heels. It was the big guys against big guys.
Heels.
On live TV.
Heels is a great term for the wrestling guy.
It's a great term. It's so good.
He's a heel. Although I still can't believe they made Hulk a heel. It hurt my heart.
Sure.
All right, let's listen to
Kyle. Stick around long enough, you live to be the villain,
Oh,
man.
But that bothered me, man. He was Hulk. All right. Kyle Schwarber, he got the playoffs going with a bang. Then last game, as the last caller just referenced, an 0-4. Here's Schwarber talking yesterday on you know, the mentality of a player going as they got to do tonight. They got to play on the road.
You embrace it, right? Like, you know, that's why we're in the playoffs, right? And, you know, it's a hostile environment here for them. You know, I'm sure that, you know, we enjoy the cheers, right? Now it's time for us to enjoy the loud, ruckus boos and why we're hitting, right? Like, that's the beautiful thing about postseason baseball. And, you know, now it's time for us to stop the cheers and see what happens.
All right. I like that. That's fair. That's accurate. All right. Speaking of tonight, let's talk more about it with our next guest, Elliot Sherparks, both on the Phils and the Eagles. Elliot is always brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. By the way, I'm still looking for someone to please call us at 215-592-9494 going to tonight's game. I know it's not a huge group of people out there listening headed to tonight. I mean, maybe 2,000 to 4,000 people, you know, that'll be there that are Phillies fans. If you're one of them, I want to hear from you. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Elliot right now. Elliot, good morning, buddy.
Man, I actually think Phillies fans are going to take over the stadium more than Mets fans did in Philly. So you're right, the number might not be huge, but I do expect a ton of Phillies fans.
Well, I was encouraged by how few Mets fans there were. I was actually shocked by it.
It was such a good look. From the TV perspective, they were non-existent.
Well, they were.
You were saying you thought it was going to be like 10,000.
I was shocked, James. Well, Elliot, one thing that helps Phillies fans comparative to New York fans, other than being smarter and better looking, we've had time to make the adjustment plan-wise. I mean, the Mets won a game.
That's a good point.
And 2 days later, they were going to be in another city, and their fans had to scramble. Not that
cheaper
it's impossible.
Cheaper ticket up there, too.
It is?
Oh, yeah, it's like a couple $100 cheaper than it was to get in, at least as of yesterday.
Really?
It might have gone up today, but as of yesterday, it was like
look
a couple $100 cheaper.
That supply and demand issue.
Kinda nice.
Right. All righty. I like that. So, Elliot, how are you feeling here, my man? I'm going to give you two words. Which do you feel more, excited or nervous?
Man, two good words, because the way that game ended, it's hard not to feel excited. But if I think of my main takeaway from the first two games, as fun as the last three innings of the last game were, my main takeaway is this team is still just looks the same offensively as it did in game 6 and 7 last year against the Diamondbacks. I heard one caller describe game 1 as game 8. And I think that's such like a perfect description of how it felt watching this offense for two games. So, look, they came back and won it for sure. And I think the tough thing about this series is they're kind of both teams you can't count out until they're actually eliminated. But I am worried that what we're going to see the majority of the time over the next three games is them swinging at bad pitches, going innings upon innings without scoring. And it's just a really hard way to win. So I'm probably still more nervous.
Well, look, it's a reasonable thing. I mean, you know, I get it, man. I am more excited because I'm pretty damn confident in Nola, but I know they're 54 outs away from the season being over, and that would be a huge disappointment. Elliot, what tonight, in your opinion, would constitute more of Rob Thompson stepping out of the zone he had been in the last 2 years and managing more aggressively? Like, for instance, when we found out a couple hours before game 2 that Alec Bohm wasn't starting, it was pretty shocking. Now, it made sense when you think about it, like, okay, he's been struggling, the hand issue, his reactions to at-bats have been bad. But, I mean, the first second you hear Alec Bohm's not starting, you're shocked. Do you think there's another surprise up the sleeve of Rob Thompson?
So I really hope there isn't. And I feel like what's baked into that question, and I'm not saying it's unreasonable, but, like, is a desire for Rob Thompson to put his stamp on this series. I don't think that's needed. I don't want a manager that's going to overmanage. I thought actually, game 2, starting Christopher Sanchez, it worked out, like, barely, but I thought that was a mistake. I would not have benched Alec Bohm. I think that was a mistake. So I'm not looking for anything tonight where I'm sitting there and going, oh, nice, here's Rob Thompson putting his stamp on this series. Is there going to be potentially a decision late in the game where, look, I don't think he should stick with guys as long as he did last year, right, going to Kimbrel a bunch, keeping Castellanos in the lineup despite his struggles. I'm not saying he should be stubborn, but I don't think this series needs overmanaged. The Phillies are the better team. They have the better team. They just do. And so if they play up to their potential and don't swing at bad pitches, then I don't think you're going to need Rob Thompson to come in and overmanage.
Elliot, let's move to the Eagles. They bide. They had a chance to rest. How is the health of our team right now?
Well, it looks like they're going to go into this game against the Cleveland Browns completely healthy. Like, not
That's
only are all the injured guys coming back, but it looks like Sidney Brown, obviously starting his practice window.
Wow.
Anaya Smith, that I know it's a bit less exciting for people, but I do think it's interesting they brought him back. You wonder if maybe if Covey isn't injured, if that happens. But since Covey is injured, I think there's a shot. Maybe you see Anaya Smith come back eventually, potentially as a punt returner. I mean, they're going into this game completely healthy, which means there are no excuses for not performing well over this upcoming stretch.
And how much did they actually get together over the bye? Was it a, hey, see you guys next week? Or was it, let's get together, meet on our up? Like, how did they handle that?
Yeah. Well, so I know the Eagles really like to use this bye week from a coaching staff perspective to self-evaluate. Now, the tough thing I will say about where their bye is this time, I think from a health perspective, it came at a good point. But they only really have four games to look at to self-evaluate. So in terms of the coaches getting together, yeah, I don't think they experienced much of a bye week. I mean, they definitely worked a lot. In terms of the players, I think it was important for them to get away and not be on the field. I know they were back at the facility yesterday, so you know that's the beginning of ramping it back up for Cleveland. But with all like the bumps and bruises they had after a long training camp, Brazil, New Orleans, Tampa, like I think they needed some time to get their bodies right.
Elliot, do you think coming back from the bye and the evaluation, the defensive backfield will be different? I mean, it's a love of Avante Maddox, but it just looks to me like it's time to get him out of the starting lineup. Do you think that change occurs?
What's crazy about Avante is if you look at his numbers compared to other nickel corners around the league, he's actually been one of the better nickel cornerbacks. Now, I agree with your assessment of what the eye says, right? Like, yeah, just watching.
The eye test has been a disaster.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I do think maybe we're overstating a little bit how bad Avante has been. Now, that being said, I do think Cooper DeJean is well on his way to becoming the starter. And I think in a roundabout way, if you look at the decision to open the practice window for Anaya Smith, I wonder if they maybe view him as the punt returner because Cooper DeJean is going to be the full-time nickel. Like, I don't think you want a full-time starter back there returning punts. So maybe that's an indication that a change is coming. But Vic Fangio has been pretty clear. Like, Cooper is getting closer. He is improving in practice. And I think that clearly the team wants Cooper DeJean to be the starter. So no better time to do it than against Cleveland that has, you know, one of the worst offenses in the NFL.
All right, so Elliot, help me understand this one. And I'm not advocating one or the other. I'm just curious why it goes Cooper DeJean in the slot instead of these other two possibilities. Quinyon Mitchell to the slot, and then either Kelee Ringo starting outside or Isaiah Rogers starting outside. I mean, those guys were very heralded in training camp. So why is it just DeJean over either of those two with the reconfiguration?
I think they really like how Quinyon's playing on the outside. You know, we could, I guess, debate what's a more important position, the outside or the nickel, considering, you know, they're going to play it 70, 80% of the time anyway. And a lot of really good receivers do go inside. But ultimately, Quinyon's long-term career here is going to be on the outside. So I think there is an advantage to keeping him there. So I think it really comes down to that. Like, as much as I think they do still like Kelee Ringo and Isaiah Rogers, ultimately, Quinyon and Cooper DeJean are more important to this team in the long run, and I think they'd rather have them out on the field.
All right, Elliot, two final things. When does this Devin White charade end? I mean, is he just deactivated all season, or do they just eventually cut him?
So I think the post-trade deadline would probably be the time. I think that, you know, whether he'll do it, we'll see, but there have been times where we've sat here and go, why isn't Howie trading somebody? And, you know, he eventually ends up getting something. Whether it's anything of value, we'll see. But Devin White has no value to the team right now because they're refusing to play him. So, yeah, I think the post-trade deadline is probably where you'll see it. Otherwise, they would have just done it already, right? I mean, there's nothing holding on to him despite the fact, other than thinking you can maybe trade something for him. So I'd say the trade deadline.
Elliot, did you do anything unique to get away from football over the bye week? Did you need to just reset to give yourself a good chance to, down the stretch, be the best Elliot possible?
Well, I like to think I'm always the best Elliot possible, you know. So I did go away, went to New York for the weekend. But no, I mean, I don't want to get away from football, you know. It's actually been nice how many Sundays we've had just to watch the league this year, like the way the schedules worked out. So it's been a nice change.
What was strange, though, about the one 2 days ago was I would bet a lot of people watched very little. I can tell you from my vantage point, I'm not making this up, I watched tops 5 minutes of the NFL the other day.
Jeez.
Oh, wait, really?
That's negligent.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I had the red zone on until I left for the game.
I had a Phillies game at 4.
Phillies game, that's what matters.
It was like a total eclipse of the NFL for me.
You had the London game at 9:30?
I didn't care. Oh my God, first off, I didn't even know about it. All right, Elliot,
it felt so strange.
Small. Yeah. All right, Elliot, last thing here.
Football fan.
I need you to answer the Twitter poll question of the day for us here. Both brought to us, both polls by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new Chevy 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. All right, first question, Elliot. Tonight, if you only got to use one of these in a big spot, which lefty do you prefer? It's the eighth inning, two on, two out. It's lefty time. You're holding a one-run lead. You bringing in Alvarado or Strom?
I think I'd still go Strom. I know he's been bad recently, but he has been way better. I would still go Strom.
Okay, second question. How does this thing end? Phil's in 4 or 5, Mets in 4 or 5. What do you got?
Oh, God, it's so hard to predict. My gut says Mets in 4. I just feel like...
Oh, wow. What?
What? Oh, my God.
What is wrong with your gut?
No excuse.
You know what?
Your
what
gut
is that? Stinks.
Offense, what you talking about, Willis?
You should keep your mouth shut.
As if.
You are
how
awful.
Rude.
He did go to New York this weekend. I think that they got to him.
Loser!
Where did he get the effrontery?
Take caution.
Trust me when I tell you there's a lot of shame right here.
We can just keep going.
We need to back off a little bit.
I've said a lot of things on the radio. I don't think I've ever received that type of reaction.
Sorry.
Well, I look forward to this winning drop of the week or losing drop of the week when the Phillies have, you know, on Friday. We're all just sitting back, chill, relaxed, getting ready for the third round of the postseason, and you look like a fool. No, Elliot, we'll see. I mean, it's possible. Phillies got to play, obviously, to win it all. They got to play better than they have so far, and they might need to play better than they have so far to win this series. This is no joke, man. This thing could go either way. Elliot, stay well, buddy. Appreciate it as always.
Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, there Elliot. He is. He goes out on that limb. He's willing to be out on that limb, and that's a limb.
I don't agree with him at all.
But it's certainly possible. I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
It's absolutely possible.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, 6 innings into game 2, we all thought they were getting swept, you know?
And Ranger pitches game 4, and I don't feel good about that.
I'm concerned about that.
Yeah, that's a problem. All right, let's go to Billy. He's calling from Broomall. What's going on, Billy?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing all right, Billy.
Getting excited, Billy, but also nervous.
Yeah. I just wanted to call in. I heard you looking for people who are going to the game tonight, and me and my dad are heading up.
Good man. Good man.
How tough was it to get set up with those tickets?
It was pretty easy, and that's why I bought them, because I was looking at the beginning of the week for tickets for our home games, and they were, you know, obviously very expensive. Mm-hmm. But the Mets were still selling them for face value. Like directly from the Mets.
Wow.
So they weren't on the secondary market yet. So I actually got game 3 and game 4 for, you know, face value prices.
That's
great.
Shocking.
Job by you. That's so great know how. I mean, wow.
And when did you get them, Billy? What day?
That was probably Tuesday or Wednesday last week. Probably
Wow.
Tuesday,
good man. That's a nice job by you.
Yeah.
So you got to assume people just assumed that was unavailable. I would have assumed that was unavailable. You went through the Mets and just booked it.
I would have assumed that, and it's just too expensive. I mean, you know, look, you can buy any ticket in the world you want as long as you got enough money. If you're Elon Musk, you can have any ticket you want. But I would have thought, given how many people are in New York City?
Face value.
You know?
Face value.
That's shocking to me. All right, so Billy, give me your thoughts on this game tonight, my man. It's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, nervous. It can go any way, and I think that's what makes playoff baseball so great. I mean, we saw the low of it last year with how it all ended, but, you know, obviously the highs of Sunday and the way things can turn so quickly. So I feel good that I'm much, much more comfortable with Nola being on the mound than if we pitched him Sunday and we had Sanchez going in. I think we'd all be a little bit more on edge.
I would be. Sure.
Yeah. More uneasy. So I think that was the right decision, and I was good to see Thompson make that change.
Well, like a lot of things, it works out in part because you actually won the first half of the scenario. I mean, you won game 2. I mean, if the Phillies had lost game 2, we'd be cursing,
of course,
Rob Thompson for having screwed it up by pitching the wrong pitcher. So, look, it worked out. All right, Billy, give me a great answer. This is for Dane Cook tickets. Who or what is quintessential 80s?
Yeah, I told James I didn't really have anything. I'm a little younger, so.
All right, buddy. All right, my man. You got
it. Did you see the OPS, the Bryce Harper OPS?
Yes, I did. That it's so much greater than Ohtani and Judge.
Oh, well,
in the playoffs.
This is
Judge is a disaster in the playoffs.
Bryce has the third highest OPS in baseball playoff history behind
Ruth and Garrett, right?
Babe, that's Ruth,
right.
And yeah. Ruth Garrett.
And he's played more games than those guys.
Oh my God.
You know, you wouldn't think about it but back then they went straight to the World Series.
That's
like,
right.
I looked at it today. I think Bryce has like 50 more bats than them in the playoffs or something like that.
That's really something. I mean, that and John, I'm glad you brought that up. That's really amazing.
Stunning.
I mean, that'd be like if your star NBA player averaged 38 points a game in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
12 like, homers in 32 games.
Over 1,000. His OPS is 1.024. Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig are the only people with better OPS in the playoffs than Bryce Harper.
No, I mean, I love it.
And to underscore the importance of it, he had one game, obviously, where he had two. The Phillies are 11-0 in playoff games where Bryce Harper hits a home run.
Look, to this point, well, that's great, James. To this point, and it's been 2 years with Bryce here, a couple years in Washington, like he really steps up in a way that very few Philadelphia stars ever have in the postseason.
Stars. Correct. And you don't see players who are this like high-level Hall of Fame stuff great.
AI did it in 01, obviously. Bernie Parent clearly did it. Now, I'm too young for Bobby Clark, but I'm assuming he did because obviously, you know, they won two cups and the whole deal. I do know Bernie had a shutout. Both years the Flyers clinched the cup, he pitched a shutout in the deciding game.
Almost didn't in that one, though, right? Where the
puck almost went in because he was looking up at the scoreboard.
Unbelievable.
That was an incredible story. Obviously, Nick Foles, 2017.
But he's not a star.
He's not a star. You're right. Not a star.
That's my point. The high
Moses in 83 delivered.
Great example.
I got to tell you, like, Moses in 1983, you know, in that series, Kareem averaged 7 rebounds. Moses averaged 17. Like, that's kicking someone's ass.
Yeah.
Like, Kareem, 7 rebounds per game. Moses, 17.
That's illustrative of, like, illustrative. Anyway.
It's illustrative.
Is it illustrative? But it does, it suggests, like, the way they played. You know, like, Kareem was all about finesse.
Well, that's right. And Kareem
Moses
was older.
Moses was about getting in there,
That's
man.
Right. No, that's exactly right.
Mix
right.
it up.
Speaking
he
of
was get, mean.
Moses was something, man.
was
you know,
one of the
I may have done
ever.
The last interview with Moses.
Oh, really?
I may have. So about, maybe 2 months before he died. Maybe a month, somewhere in that range. I was doing a show, and Moses, Billy C., and Bobby Jones on my show at the same time. It's a real thrill. I mean, and then, of course, he passed away.
Billy C. could be ornery sometimes.
Yeah, but he wasn't that
no.
day.
No, but he's great. He's awesome.
He's phenomenal.
I remember that show. I remember you when you did. Yeah, it was a remote, I
it
think,
was
right?
a remote
yep.
broadcast in the Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo.
Yeah. I was working it. I was there working it, like, on site. And I remember
that
those
was incredible.
It was incredible.
And Moses, who, of course, could be not articulate sometimes, was very understandable that day. And when I say articulate, it was just hard to understand him sometimes. It wasn't an intellect thing. It's just the way the words came out of his mouth was mumbly a lot of times. That day, he enunciated, and it was clear as day. And it was really amazing. It was about 25 minutes with those three. All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson. So, look, he didn't tip his hand yesterday on whether he's going to Strom or Alvarado in a big spot first tonight. But he did talk about both pitchers yesterday. Let's start with Rob Thompson on Matt Strom, who obviously was one of his two main relievers this year. Main were Strom and Hoffman. But it's not like Kirkland was much far behind. Strom was amazing, made the All-Star game. Rob Thompson was asked yesterday about the entire bullpen, but with the question having a particular focus on Matt Strom, here's what Topper said.
I think you have to trust them, you know. They've been performing all year long. It's just a matter of execution, but these guys adjust all the time, and they've been so good all year, I think you have to trust them.
So that's his mindset, John. Now, I will say this. You don't have to.
Well,
now eventually
can get
you need
trouble if you trust them for too long.
Well, that's the point. So, like, this is here's what I'll say in Rob Thompson's defense with that answer. You can't win without going to the bullpen at times. So I think part of what he's saying is, like, I need to go to my bullpen.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah, I don't have a choice. I'm not going to have a pitcher give
me
9 innings
every game. 10 straight shutouts and we win the World Series, complete game.
Correct.
You know?
But where it gets interesting is who to trust. Who to trust. Let's get to Rob Thompson talking about Alvarado. The question was about if Rob Thompson is concerned about Alvarado's command, particularly given the fact that Alvarado has not pitched in a while, I mean a long while, other than that game they played at the ballpark the other day against themselves. Here's Rob Thompson on Alvarado.
A little bit. You know, and I think we need to get him into a game for sure. When he pitched in the inter-squad game on Wednesday, he was really good, really efficient, hit his spots. But, yeah, he's a guy that needs work. Consistent work to maintain that command.
All Seltzer, it's the eighth inning. You're holding a one-run lead. There's two on and two outs, and it's time for a lefty. Strom or Alvarado?
Yeah, it's Strom. I'm going to go to Strom again in this spot, and look, I might get burned by it, but I really do believe the rust has been a factor. Strom's been out there. He's been thrown again. He was too good this year not to trust him again. Like, I don't know what else to say.
Is James right?
I don't know. If he says Alvarado is one who needs the work,
I don't care about who needs the work. I need to win the game.
Get to where he didn't get the work.
Like, well, what was it to trust? He has to trust his guys.
Here's what was a little weird. When Ruiz got the sixth inning the other day.
I agree. That was a super. Right? It was because of Alonso, and it didn't work out, but he was the righty. But I thought that was, of all the decisions Topper has made in the first two games, that was my biggest gripe.
Now, I will say, Ruiz is better than people think.
He's been very good.
I mean, he had a better ERA this year than Alvarado was, for instance.
But I think we all.
I would have kept Sanchez in there. For, if it were 100%. Me, I would have kept Sanchez in for 88 pitches. Yeah. I would have kept him for another.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.